ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 22, Bali Maharaj surrenders his life, text number 4. Pumsam slagyatamam manye dandam arhatam arpitam yamnamata pita brata suridaischa tishantihi. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although a father, mother, brother, or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinate like this. But because you are the most worshipful Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as most exalted. Purport. Punishment meted out by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is accepted by the devotee as the greatest mercy. Tattenukampam susamikshamano punjana evatmakritam vipakam ridvagvapubhir vidadan namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadayabhak. One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words, and body, and who always offers obeisances to you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for liberation. The Bhagavatam 10.14.8. A devotee knows that so-called punishment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is only his favor to correct his devotee and bring him to the right path. Therefore, the punishment awarded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be compared to even the greatest benefit awarded by one's material father, mother, brother, or friend. It's not such a bad verse. Pumsam shlagatamam manye dandam arhatam arpitam yamnamata pita brata suridas cha siddhanti cha. Although a father, mother, brother, or friend they sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinate like this. But because you are the most worshipful Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as most exalted. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Namane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyatya De Satarne. In this verse, it goes over what is the difference between reward and punishment. That in the material world, people are looking for material gain, and they think that when they get material gain, then they've actually achieved something valuable. And when something is taken away from them, then they feel that they've lost something. But this is all due to illusion. But illusion is very common in the material world, therefore we accept it as more or less reality. But the Bhagavatam and all the Vedic literature is based upon the underlying principle of the eternality of the soul and the temporality of matter. That whatever we get in the material world, since it's temporary, it can't actually be in the ultimate sense reality. Just like if we were given $100 billion to spend, but we can only spend it in 1/100,000,000,000th of a second, it would not be considered a very great gain. But 1/100,000,000,000th of a second compared to 100 years compared to eternity, 100 years compared to eternity is not even the experience of 1/100,000,000,000th of a second of our lifetime. In other words, time is quite relative. 100 years has no real significance in eternity, just as 1/100,000,000,000th of a second has no relevance to our present lifetime. but 1/100 billionth of a second is a much greater duration of life than 100 years compared to eternity. Therefore, our lifetime is completely insignificant, and whatever we can gain here has even less significance. Because, very shortly, within a moment, Brahma, everything will be lost anyhow. So therefore, to receive something and consider it a great gain is certainly an illusion. And to lose something and think that it's a great loss is certainly an illusion, because at the end, we lose everything we've gained. And however much we had to hanker, or we were hankering for some gain, how much distress we went through to achieve it, when we finally got it, we may have been happy, but since we have to lose it very shortly, we'll equally, if not more, lament over its loss. Therefore, this endeavor and this loss, the endeavor for gain and the lamentation over loss, are certainly just different different phases of ignorance. Therefore, Krishna says, Naprari shat priyam prapya, no dvijat chapyicha priyam, stira buddhira samudo, brahmavid brahmani sitaha. And until one who doesn't lament when he attains when he attains something pleasant, nor laments when he attains something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is said to be fixed in transcendence. Krishna doesn't stop there. Simply don't rejoice when you get something, and don't lament when you lose something. He says, Bhayaspar Shaiva Sakdatma, Vindat Yatmini Yatsukam, Tatsukam, Sabrahma Yoga Yukdatma, Sukam Akshayam Ashnute. That Bhayasparshe, that one who's actually situated in trance, is not attracted to external sense objects or sense gratification, but is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure from within. And this way, the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness because he concentrates on the Supreme. In other words, simply by trying to become aloof from the material energy will not be very productive, because we ourselves, we want something positive. And although the material energy is certainly illusory, but it's a little bit more interesting than doing absolutely nothing. Although for a self-realized person, doing nothing is probably a better alternative than simply being absorbed in an unlimited illusion, which is simply causing unlimited suffering. But still, the positive aspect is to concentrate on the Supreme, because what we're looking for is permanent happiness, and therefore if the Supreme actually provides permanent happiness, why not accept the Supreme? Because that's ultimately what we're looking for. But the Supreme, in order to encourage us to obtain that happiness, is also trying to encourage us to give up the negative. Therefore it says, Tate nukampam su samikshamano. So su means nicely. Actually, su means good. And sama means completely. So when we see things completely in the right way, that's called su-sama. And iksha, iksha means to see. And mano, so the mind. So we have here two words, the mind, and iksha means intelligence. We see with our intelligence. So when our mind and our intelligence are situated in the right place, su, and completely situated in the right place, then we no longer are disturbed by the dualities of material existence. Because we know that nothing is happening by accident, it's all being happening due to the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he has some plan to help us. He's not doing things just to punish the living entities. Not that the living entities left Krishna, now Krishna has some grudge against living entities, and therefore he's punishing them just to make himself feel good. You don't like me, I don't like you. Take this. Whack. Not that Krishna has some vindictive agenda against the living entities in the material world. Therefore, he's arranged the material energy to cause them to suffer, burn in hell forever, and him and all the angels sit around just enjoying. Yeah, I remember that one. He said something bad about me. Look at him burn. Doesn't that make you feel good? No, Krishna has a purpose behind what he's doing, and that purpose is ultimately to free the living entities from the illusory energy so they can be properly situated in the spiritual energy. Therefore, one who realizes that things are not happening arbitrarily, nor by the, or they're happening by the goodwill of Krishna, and if we're suffering, it is not simply arbitrarily given to us, but it is the reactions of our past activities. We're an illusion presently because of what we've done in the past. Maharaj Shabdev says, Nunam pramatak kurute vikarma, et indriya pritya apinoti, nasaru manye yat atmanoyam asana pikleshita ashadeha. That people are certainly mad in this material world because they're very much anxious to serve the dictation of their senses. But an intelligent person, he doesn't do such things, because if one does it, he has to get the reactions for it, both in this life and the next, and therefore take another body. Therefore, whatever body we got was not given to us arbitrarily, but it was given to us according to our past activities. And whatever covering we have, whatever reality we're experiencing, whatever reality due to the composition, the modes we're situated under, we're forced to experience, that's due to what we've done in the past. We can't change the body that we're in, other than we can tolerate what the body's demanding of us to some extent and engage the body in something positive, namely Krishna consciousness. We can't change a Rolls Royce, or we can't change a Volkswagen into a Rolls Royce, but we can drive the Rolls Royce or the Volkswagen with great care and attention, and therefore avoid any kind of difficulties and hopefully achieve something positive. Similarly, we can't change the body we're in, but we can know how to utilize it properly so that we get the ultimate benefit of life. But the body we're in is destined for a certain amount of distress, as it's destined to a certain amount of happiness, so-called material happiness. Therefore, one has to learn to tolerate, as Krishna says, Matra sparshas tukhantaya shitoshna sukadukada agama payano nityas tam titiksha savarata. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress, and who is steady in both, which appear like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer season, that arise from sense perception, O Sanabharata, one has to learn to tolerate these without being disturbed. Or the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress, and the disappearance and due cause are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer season. They arise from sense perception, O Sanabharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Sense perception also includes the mental concoctions that we're subjected to. Therefore, Krishna says, Yam hina vyantante te purusham purusharshava samaduka sukham dhiram samritatvaya kalpate. O best among men, Arjuna, the person is not disturbed by happiness and distress, that he certainly becomes eligible for liberation. Nasato vidite pavo, na bhavo vidite sita, ubhayapitistrantas tadad. The seers of the truth have concluded that of the eternal there is no cessation, of the temporary there is no permanence. Therefore, we have to expect we're destined to a certain amount of suffering. There's nothing we can do to avoid it. That doesn't mean that necessarily we don't take care of the problems that we're faced with. Because part of the reason why we can avoid a certain amount of suffering is because due to our past activities, we have a certain amount of intelligence, and if we utilize it, we can minimize our suffering. But we can't completely eliminate it because we only have a certain amount of intelligence, and we've been given a body which only has a certain amount of ability to avoid suffering. Especially the sufferings of janma, mriti, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, nudarshana. Old age, disease, and death are inevitable for everyone. Therefore, they're impossible to avoid. But they are the impetuses to make spiritual advancement. If there was no old age, there was no disease, there was no death, or the prospect of taking another birth, then we would be very lackadaisical about our spiritual advancement. Oh yes, I'll make spiritual advancement maybe in the next lifetime of Brahma. I have unlimited time here in the material world, so why be pressured into making advancement? But when we think we only have a few years left, then we may become serious. We may not become serious, but at least if we are intelligent enough, we can understand that this is a time to become serious. Krishna tvidya parapankaja panjarandam adyaiva me vishutu manasaraja hangsa. King Kulukshekhar prays that let my mind enter into the stem of your lotus-like feet. My swan-like mind enter into the stem of your lotus-like feet because now that I'm healthy and I have a clearer consciousness, therefore there is some possibility I can fix my mind upon you when I leave my body. But if I have to wait till everything is disturbed, kandava roda, when everything becomes disturbed, my throat becomes choked up with mucus, then I may smaratam kutaste. I may find it difficult to remember you with that circumstance. Therefore, we should understand, as we were pointing out before, that as soon as we don't realize that our present condition is not reality, but is being given to us due to our past activities, and therefore make an endeavor to fix our mind upon Krishna under all circumstances, then we remain covered by the illusory energy. And that's called paravastavada bodha jato yavana jignasita atmatatvam yavankriyastavadi domanovai karmatmaka yena sharira bandaha. That as long as one is not making an endeavor to inquire about one's real self, as long as one becomes distracted by the so-called pleasures and miseries of material existence and forgets to inquire about oneself, then the result is that by our activities, our mind becomes cloudy. And as long as our mind is uncloudy, we ourselves, the soul's consciousness, it remains unclear. And as long as our consciousness is unclear, we have to take one body after another. So our consciousness is already unclear through our past activities, but the hope is that if we engage this body in devotional service and come in contact with Krishna consciousness, then the result will be that gradually our senses, mind, and intelligence become purified and our real consciousness will be reawakened. Evam manak karma prasam prayunkte avididatman yupadiyamane pritinavayavan maivasudeve namuchante deha yogena yadvat. That as long as one is maintaining these false conception of life and working accordingly, evamana karma prasam prayunkte, one will be subjected to the reactions of one's activities. But during this time, we should pritirna yavan mai vasudeve, try to develop love for Vasudeva. Only that way can one become free. Namuchante deha yogena tadva. So one will become free from these false conceptions and therefore eventually not have to take another material body, one after another. Therefore, the devotee appreciates if sometimes there is some punishment, it's to purify us by Krishna. And if there is some benediction coming from others, we should understand that these aren't real benedictions if they don't help us free us from the material conception of life. Simply, whatever we're getting or whatever is being taken away from us is all due to our past activities, and one should learn to tolerate these things and instead go on steadily with one's devotional service and try to become Krishna conscious. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Well, we should become aware of things as they really are. Therefore, we need knowledge. So I don't know exactly what you're talking about is good or bad, but we should see things from the point of view of Krishna consciousness. That in the spiritual world, things are not impersonal. When Krishna is glorified, that's ultimately good, or Krishna's devotees are glorified, that's good. And if someone glorifies our activities, then we should understand that ultimately that glorification goes back to our teachers who are teaching us in disciple succession how to serve Krishna. Therefore, we can appreciate when someone glorifies our activities, the actual glory goes back to Krishna and his devotees. So not that we should be impersonal and whatever someone does, we become indifferent. Oh, Krishna's doing it all anyhow and he's so powerful. What's the difference? It doesn't matter what you do. No, we should appreciate the devotees' activities, and if someone glorifies us, we should appreciate that they're glorifying us. Because otherwise, how do you become a devotee? If everything's the same and everything is one and we don't appreciate anyone, then where is there any question of scope of developing devotion? But we should see things properly. That whatever we're able to do in devotional service, we should give the credit to Krishna. Whatever anyone else is able to do, we should understand is also part of Krishna's glories. And if something bad happens, then we should understand, in the real sense of bad, is because of my causeless unwillingness to serve Krishna to some extent. And therefore I should try to rectify myself. Not that it's all good and it doesn't really matter. If something's bad, it was all Krishna doing it anyhow, so what does it have to do with me? No, it has to do with me. If it's actually bad, if I disturb someone unnecessarily, then that's due to my nonsense. I shouldn't say it was Krishna did it. He used me as an instrument to disturb them. Therefore, I'm actually, it was part of my service to make sure they get disturbed. I wish I understand that Krishna doesn't want to disturb anyone, and if he does, then let someone else do it, unless it's my duty to disturb. But that should be very clear. Yes.
This is in pursuance to the 2012 controversy that's all over everywhere.
I don't know anything about it yet.
Well, the Aztec calendar ends on 2012, and so the story is that everyone is convinced that the world is coming to an end. There's going to be Armageddon. Now, one devotee the other day was saying that, well, they're creating their Armageddon by this kind of meditation. And I was wondering if you could have a comment on that.
No, they're not so powerful. They can't do very much.
I'm sorry.
Very powerful. It's just another fantasy. Yes.
In the Bhagavatam, that if a person has a beautiful wife, then this would be a problem because other men would be attracted to her also. And then there's another place I read that a beautiful wife is an enemy to the family. And then in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I read Lord Chaitanya was saying that he doesn't want anything, has no desire for a beautiful wife. So what is this beautiful wife that keeps on getting all this discrimination?
What does that have to do with the class? I don't really wanted to get into discussions on beautiful ladies.
No, you
can save that for another class. I know, but you can save that for another class when it's more appropriate. Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Bol.